This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. You look different, Larissa.
The arms are folded negatively.
Bad negative. Yeah. I'm.
You look different.
I had to go to the dentist the other day, and she had to surgically. Not well, obviously, she had to surgically remove the tooth, as opposed to
coax it out.
Yeah, she removed. She took a tooth out of my head. You feel so violated. Have you ever had a tooth removed?
I felt violated. Oh, Larissa, tell us about that. Tell us about violation.
You feel so vulnerable, and you're lying.
Slow down. And rush through it.
What time of the day was this at?
Now, 9 o'clock in the morning.
What's the dentist's name?
Full of optimism, thinking, you know, what's the worst that can happen? And this young little dentist, good looking, you would have thought. Good looking, I thought. A young female dentist.
Dentists are called lallies and stuff. The surname on a dentist.
Horns.
Yeah.
What is it? Horns and lallies.
I don't know her surname.
Kerwin. Kerwin is a big dentist.
I took no attention to her.
You can't have Flaherty a dentist. No, I wouldn't go to a Flaherty.
Murphy's dentist.
Murphy's dentist.
I think her name was Lauren or Shannon or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Shanahan dentists. Yeah.
So yes. She.
I love young ones named after rivers.
Yeah.
Christine Barrow. Yeah, Barrow dentists.
Oh, yeah.
And what about Sheila Shure?
That's it, yeah.
Young Moy.
Martina Moy dentistry.
Martina Moy. Yeah. So she brought me in. I was so, like, enthusiastic.
Lydia Suck.
That's a river in Patton. Slow the Suck.
Lydia Suck dentistry. The Suck. The Suck. Bonus of 5 points. Where is the River Suck?
Well,
I just told
just
you. Close through Ballinasloe.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I think my fucking hearing is gone, is it?
You're asking us.
Yeah, we're not sure. For a man, you probably clean your ears out too much. Yeah.
Go on, keep going, the dentist.
It's that hair you have brushed over your ears.
Yeah, it's kind of
there's a word for that, isn't there? The kind of the
sideburns, but
no. It's when the hair is not allowed to go its natural way, that it's pushed forward to kind of surround the face.
I'm looking forward to hearing what it's called.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? Look at the length of it.
Will you get your hair?
I'm getting a haircut tomorrow, Martina.
A mobile hairdresser, of course. Is she still on?
She opened a place in town and it closed, unfortunately. But she's back on the mobile hairdressers. So Siobhan is coming out again with the mobile things.
The dog grooming kit. So, yes, I went in. Didn't think.
Now, why did you go in?
Because I had a little bit of toothache.
I've got three teeth that I can't have food next or fucking near for
Are
the past
you joking,
6 months.
Mate? That's not normal. So I had toothache.
And chewing everything at the front of my mouth.
You see, like a rabbit eating carrots. So I went in. I said,
"What were you wearing?"
I was wearing my pajamas. What do you think I was wearing?
Do you have to be conscious of what you wear when you go to a dentist? No.
No, when you're in pain and it's 9 o'clock.
You want to be in a pair of yoga pants and a t-shirt.
You see, you can't get into a dentist either, by the way. But I just happened to ring and somebody cancelled that very second that I rang, and they said, "Can you be here in 5 minutes?" And I said, "Well, I can be there as close to 5 minutes as possible."
Yeah.
Went in. Not looking me absolute best, like I was going into the bloody dentist, like you don't have to look great. And I knew she said it was a woman, so, you know, less having to look great.
You know,
it was, she didn't say it was a man, a good looking man. So I went in and she...
Because you can't be wandering into like
A dentist,
a good looking man with your normal face.
Oh no, not at all. And like, especially when you're drooling down the side of your mouth, like you have to put, you know, be a somewhat more attractive than you normally would.
Yeah, especially if you're lying on your back with your mouth open.
Broad of your back, lying on the broad of your back with your mouth open and your legs crossed. Like, yes. And you're basically tied.
Sending mixed messages.
Your legs crossed and your mouth open.
I don't know how to read this at all now. I don't know.
I'm not sure whether that's a good or a bad sign. I mean, the least you could do is at least, I don't know. Anyway.
Be obvious.
Be obvious. So I wanted, but I'm not sure. So I went in, lied down on the chair. I said, oh, look, I have a bit of toothache here. Sure, it's probably an antibiotic sort of x-ray. You know when they do the x-rays and they run out of the room like as if it's high-powered radiotherapy.
Oppenheimer. Yeah.
Jesus, relax, lads. Like, so they took the x-ray, came in. She says, oh, bad news. This tooth can't be saved. I need to take it out. And I said, oh, fuck. And she goes, well, I can just...
Now, how sore was it?
It wasn't great, like, but it was the start of it. I'd say it would be, if it was today now, it'd be worse. Like,
I have to tell you, there was a tooth.
You couldn't bite down on it.
I've had a tooth like that now on the right, right. What do they call that in dentist circles? The lower right jaw.
Molars.
And for about 6 months, and about a week ago, just stopped being sore. So if you'd had a patience, Loretta.
But Tommy, that's disgusting. You probably had an infection.
Have you a filling in it?
Not that I don't know what the fuck is in it.
Well, obviously not.
Bit of chicken, maybe.
Maybe the bread got chicken slodged. it was sore. I couldn't bite down on it. And she said to me, look, she can take an antibiotic now and come back in a couple of weeks, or you can get it out. I said, oh, you're as well take it out now. But didn't I get very alarmed when she started giving me the anaesthetic? Her hands started shaking, vibrating, not shaking. Her hands were like this.
She was...
And all I could feel...
Was she nervous or just the DTs?
I don't know. I was thinking, oh, Jesus Christ.
And is it an injection?
She was giving me an anaesthetic injection. And
into the gum, yes.
Yeah, and the big... You know, they use this big, massive, old-style, bloody... what do you call it? Injection or...
Needle.
Syringe. Like a really old and a big, long needle.
It's in Mayo, is it?
It's like the 1920s.
Why was she shaking, Sean?
I don't know, and her hand was shaking and her two hands were shaking and I was there going, I'm pretty calm at the dentist. Yeah. Like, I don't get, there's no point in panicking. Like, and she goes, oh, I must have drank too much coffee this morning. And I was like, oh God. And then I'm thinking, oh, this is the first time she's done this now and she doesn't have a clue what she's doing.
And you're trying to keep your mouth open.
And I'm like breathing through my nose.
No bother to you.
No bother.
And was there another dental nurse there with the suction thing going in and out?
She was telling me that she was at a festival for the weekend. I thought, oh, here I am in the middle of a fucking a teenage disco, like. So she gave me the anaesthetic and then she kept saying to me, are you gone numb there now? Are you gone numb? I said, I'm not, no, not really. Is your lip numb? No, I'll give you more. She must have given me 10 injections to try and numb me up. And fuck me, she pulled out.
But your mouth would be fairly active, I suppose. So in order to put manners on it, it might need an extra strong dose.
You big.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, imagine if you had to get it. Good job you didn't go into the dentist. They'd have had to knock you out, never mind your mouth. So she then got help us and save us. So she took out the tooth. It broke halfway out. I was in hell.
Pain?
And traumatised. No pain. Just traumatised.
Did she did she extract it with a special tool then?
I could hear her molting on stuff. They give you the protective glasses as well, like as if, what, your teeth are going to jump out and pop into your eyes, like. So I had the glasses on, closed my eyes, held on to the chair as if I was being catapulted into space and just hoped for the best. And she was pulling, leaning across and leaning back and pulling and dragging. And then she goes, oh, I left a small bit behind. I have to go back in and get the rest of it.
Fucking
I thought,
hell.
Oh my good God, let me out here. But it was only afterwards that I was traumatised.
Yeah.
You're being violated. Someone is going into your jawbone and removing a piece of something that's not supposed to come out of your mouth even after you die.
Yes.
Your teeth are like what the hell?
So how did you mind yourself then for the afternoon and for the following day?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I went home and I played the Xbox.
Would you grow up to fuck? I swear to God.
I shouldn't say that out loud.
If you were 14 and...
I couldn't do anything else.
He said, Daddy, can I play the Xbox after being to the dentist?
Playing? What did you play?
I played FIFA. I'm managing at Man United and I was in the middle of buying some new players at the start of the season.
That's quality. Did you bring any treats back to the house?
No, because I couldn't eat anything.
Had any liquid stuff?
No, no, couldn't touch anything. She told me not to use a straw. No sucking for 24 hours, she told me.
Oh, sure, look.
So I said, no surprise there. And
some things never change.
Thanks, but God, I have an excuse. Could you write that down on a piece of paper, please, so I can bring it home? And I wasn't allowed to use the straw. I was basically
straight into the FIFA. That's quality.
On the couch.
You're minding yourself. Like I
couldn't bend down. I couldn't stand up. I lied on the couch. I played FIFA for a couple hours. Fell asleep.
Magnificent, Larita. Yeah. What did you do after?
I bought talent and bought a few players.
You minded yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And are you good at that?
Yeah.
Like I know my missus now, if she's had a stressful time, would find herself relaxing by watching Emmerdale. That's her comfort.
Yeah, so mine was
food.
Playing stress. Right. And then I got a bit stressed playing the Xbox, so I turned it off for a while because I thought, you know, the pressure might cause a bleed or something.
The pressure of managing Man United.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
So I had a little rest then for a while, and then I watched Great British Bake Off or something like that.
And constantly your tongue was going back and forth
to the cavern of power. It never stopped bleeding all night long. I couldn't. I thought I was going to have to be brought into hospital, but thankfully it all healed up. And I'm still a bit chuck from it.
Wow, well, you do look different. Yeah. Do you mind if I tell you something?
Yeah.
You do mind?
No, I don't mind.
You look...
I might mind.
No, you don't. You look younger, more fresh-faced, and... you look not that you fucking needed to in the slightest,
yeah.
But you look as if you look thinner than you did last week.
Well, then, fairness, I didn't eat for 24 hours, so that would have helped. Yogurt, and I told Audrey that I got a tooth out and I didn't eat for 24 hours, and she said, "Well, if I could get a couple of teeth extracted too, that would suit me as well." So maybe this is the new way to diet.
Well,
I'd say I look thinner because there's the next less tooth in my face filling it out.
Well, you just look thinner.
Thanks. Well, I'm on a diet, so. You know, it's about time you started working. It took about 6 months for it to work anyway, so...
Are you still on the intermittent fisting diet?
Yeah, intermittent fisting. It's great.
Are you?
Well, I'm trying to, yeah. It's what do you do, like? Try to eat less. It's not rocket science, like. The less you put in your mouth, the less weight you put on. Like, it's not... You know, it is the greatest mystery of all time, but...
Yeah. It's very, hard to stop grazing, though, isn't it?
Oh, grazing.
Picking. Hard to stop grazing.
It's just little treats. And then you go to my father's house and someone always has buns there or little treats there. And then you're like, oh, Dad, will you like one of these? No, I don't like them. They're too sweet. He's going through a phase now. Everything is too sweet, except for when you put brandy into his coffee. It seems to neutralise it. But so
is he still taking the drop first thing in the morning?
Yeah, I do give it to him when I get the chance. Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. But anyway, it's a great life. And if you can continue to have brandy in your coffee at 11 o'clock in the morning...
Fire ahead. I have to find new clothes now for the next series of the chat show.
Don't you have a woman to do that?
Yeah, but I was wondering, would you have any...
I think purples and greens suit you. Purples
Harrow
and greens. Why don't you get a velvet purple suit? Full.
And a pair of sparkling shoes.
Like velvet gold mine.
Velvet trousers, velvet jacket.
Velvet might be nice.
Purple, dark purple Tommy. Like real nice,
like a kind of a cabaret lounge.
Yeah, 1977 in the Lizard Lounge in Malibu.
Come on, what's your phase at the minute? Because you've different phases. No jeans, yes jeans.
How do I look?
You look dishevelled. You look unkempt.
You look like a fucking
unkempt,
writer who's come to the end of the...
No, do you know what I'm starting to look like? I'm starting to look a little bit like Uncle Albert from Only Fools and Horses.
Very like him. Honestly, your hair is getting more similar.
There's a
to
bit
it.
Of the hippie coming out. There's a
no, it's a hippie. I think it's just I look tired and defeated.
You look like you've given up.
Yes.
Would
you ever get rid of that beard for the chat show and come out and just...
Smooth face. It really doesn't suit me.
Why? Who says that to you?
My reflection and the children.
Richie the Reflector.
Everybody says... Remember,
going for a hat this year?
I don't know, but I am looking fairly fucked, aren't I? In general, I would look at myself in the mirror like I'll go, you look fucked. Like your tash is practically grown, is over your mouth now.
That's because you're
and your beard is grown out at odd angles. You just looked like a fella who could not give a fuck.
There was a moment
you're
there.
Homeless looking.
There was a moment there. We had a pint of Guinness last week, and there was a load of Guinness left on one strand of hair, and I couldn't give a shit telling them. I just went, "That's class. It looks like an outfit."
But look, but I would be. I wonder about making my turning my wife on. Like she
probably a struggle now, I'd say, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There hasn't been
No, she's not running at you from all angles of the kitchen, like
that's our business, Larissa.
Yeah. That's your personal.
But I do feel as if I'm whatever I can't
see. I mean, the only thing that you have going
for you. My hair
is
ridiculous.
Is that you're not smelly. You're not smelly.
Are you looking in the mirror regularly? Are you checking yourself out going, what the fuck is
No, don't do it regularly, but every time I pass by my reflection, I just go, ah.
I do it in the car when I'm driving. I have an awful fucking habit of looking up going, and I'm driving the car and I'm having a good look at myself.
Sure, like a teenager.
And my eyes are looking at myself going, what the fuck? And then back to the road.
But you've decided on your look, and irrespective of what era we're in, you're going to stick to it.
I could never change.
I'm a bit more...
Never change.
You're like the seasons. You're
like a walrus of culture.
Just
sad. I think trim up the beard a small bit.
You see,
don't cut it.
The way I look at this is the tattoos on the hands are bringing in a whole new dimension. There's going to be people watching the chat show, right, that are going to be looking at your hands.
Going, he won't be a guard anyway.
Oh, yeah, you can be a guard now. You can, yeah. The guards are all open to tattoos.
Up to tattoos.
There's going to be people who love you out there going, Jesus, look at his hands. Look at his hands when he's talking. And they'll be looking at you, but you'll be showing the hands, which you do. You like flexing the hands. Flex the blackbird. Flex the raven and the bell. But you've got to go with that style, Tommy. This Anthony Bourdain-esque.
No, I look like a cross between fucking King Lear and... fucking Henry Rollins.
You need to tidy yourself up a bit and just have a word at yourself and just say, like, it's time to just
to make more of an effort with it.
Yeah.
The tweed. Is it pride, is it?
Yeah.
To get rid of the tweed and this West of Ireland lobster fisherman look. Get into the velvet fucking suits, the real fucking.
Or else start wearing skinny jeans with holes in them and
a pair of New Balance runners.
And a pair of a t-shirt. If you want to.
Yeah,
that's
go
what
Tommy,
you want,
come
like,
on.
You either need to cop on and have worked it yourself and tidy yourself up a small bit or else.
All my clothes are sad. That's the problem. All my clothes, they're droopy. They're comfortable.
End of life.
But they're
stuff.
Hornless. They're
palliative of care clothes.
They're palliative of care clothes.
That's a fucking...
I'm going
in
the shop.
And on that moment, and on that fucking bombshell,
the rental life care.
Looking
care.
For a pair of trousers.
I'll be up to the hospital now after the next one dies. Going to the living.
Looking for a shirt.
They give you a bag
Tommy
for life. Which
Tommy Tiernan's palliative care is brand new range in Dunn Stores.
Honestly, you're like Paul Galvin, but except you're Tommy Tiernan. You could bring out clothes for outlets, vests, and fucking.
I'd love a bath with a door in it.
We have those at the hospice. You can even listen to the radio in there.
Funk it up with some funky shirts, man. Some real radical fucking...
It's over. I think I'm done.
Jesus. Go back.
But these are all fine clothes. Like this cardigan is
a
fine cardigan.
But Tommy, people don't care who makes it. If it's cashmere, it's Aladdin the cashmere.
It's not. It's just that it's they're lovely pieces of clothing. But they just, whatever way they're accumulated on me, my face and my
hair. It's your hair. It's your beard is on... Oh, just sharpen yourself. Like men.
Yvonne says, my hair now is a fucking disaster.
It looks like you live at the back of a waterfall.
And you're like, putting rollers in it.
And like if David Essex had cancer, that's what my hair looks like.
If David Essex was getting chemotherapy, that's what I
You should not joke about that. Now, excuse me.
Oh, is he still in it?
I don't know.
What was his big songs?
It was only a winter's tale.
It's just another winter's tale from a world like you. It's just...
Well, that sums you up. That song sums you up.
David Essex. No, Tommy, get some funky shorts with some phoenix rising out of it.
Get a stylist. Get like. Some.
My wife says she likes my hair.
You just said she said you look like...
No, I'm saying I feel I'm without an attractive edge. Like I sometimes be... I, I, I sometimes wonder how I appear to other people.
People start going around giving you sandwiches and okay. tea and
like
coffee.
I get the glad eye because I'm, you know, I'm a comedian and they'd be, you know.
They know you, yeah.
Yeah, and someone might go, oh, hello.
Yeah.
There's your man. But yes. I know that when I'm in places and countries that nobody knows me, how really attractive I am. And right, I wouldn't be at all.
Why? How do they react to
you? They just go, fuck off, strange old man.
Yeah. Do you like having an old man vibe?
It's the least amount of effort.
But Tom, you're not like that.
Like you shave your face every morning.
I love shaving. I shaved this morning. I loved it 8:30 this morning.
And you take a bit of pride in your appearance.
Yeah, well, I.
You're the complete opposite.
No, I don't take pride, Tommy. I just throw.
Would you not tailor your beard? You know, like clip it a small bit and have it neat.
It's too fucking stressful.
You see,
how is that stressful? Cutting your beard, it's your own beard.
When you shave it down, it is nice. It is nice to see it. Stressful.
What now? Let me put the shoe on the other foot. If this,
the Birkenstock on the other toe.
Yeah, if this was a woman now, not even your wife, because it's just not a fair similarity to use your wife in as
She's
an
gorgeous
example.
And she exactly. puts a fierce amount
This
of
is what I'm saying. She puts in an effort. But I'm saying, what
She's
if,
great clothes as well.
What here, if here. This was a woman going around with a big hairy legs and big hairy vagina and big hairy armpits and hairy face?
Are you flirting with me?
And just didn't care and had a hairy chin and
just threw on a tweed dress.
Am I that bad? Is that how bad I am?
That's what I'm saying. You were saying.
I will say this. You always smell clean.
Yeah, that's at least
There's
something.
No sweat and there's no crustiness off the clothes. You're clean, Tommy. You smell well. And when we hug each other, when we embrace.
It's good smell.
There's a good smell off you. I'll give you that. There's not a smell of urine off the front patch of his trousers.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like,
he's too young for that.
Or sweat or the BO off old men. No, but you smell good, Tommy. You just can.
I'm telling you, if that was a woman, if you were a woman and you just gave up on things, what would you be like?
How would you feel?
Would you be attractive, do you think?
I'd probably, I don't know why Nell McCafferty came into my head. But you know the way Nell is kind of like, Nell is a bright, strong, brave, feisty woman, but she kind of looks dishevelled.
Miriam Margulies, sort of.
That's it, yeah.
You're like the male version of Miriam Margulies.
Is that your one from who went to those trips around India with all
She's
those?
She's brilliant. Yeah, she's absolutely
She's very funny, but she doesn't give a fuck.
Wears acid.
It's as if she's come out of the garden shed,
Yeah.
Tommy, there's really some really funky, cool shirts, man, you can get. Now, I'm not talking about shirts you might get. You might have to go online and get something really like, The Doors. Get some really cool looking stuff to go. Look at the tattoos in his hand.
Yeah, but I've a little paunch in my body.
I'd love to dress you for a day. I'd love to pick out clothes and put them on you and see would you wear them.
I'd look like Paul Gavin's fucking alcoholic brother if you did that.
Now, where you can't,
how do you know what I'm going to put on you?
But where would you source these? You can't source these clothes in the rural big shops that are in most rural towns.
Or the leftover box from
the one menswear shop in most rural towns.
We've got a couple of hospice shops. I'm sure we could dress you perfectly well in there. I'm thinking you should go for a nice, crisp, white shirt.
Is this for the chat show or during the day?
About it during the day. So you're a full wreck. It's just for the telly.
I'll be minded for that. I will be dressed well for the television. They choose great clothes for me for the TV. Trina.
And would you like Trina to dress you every day? Because you seem to have regard for dressing.
It's
a bit of a
mismatch. More me face and me head. I think that's fucking awful.
But do you have a stylist?
Obviously for the chat show, I have a stylist.
No, I'm saying for your face, like a hairdresser.
No, she could come. She could come to the house once a week and style.
The mobile.
Every time I go to get, if ever I go get the beard trimmed in a place, they always make a fuck of it. There's one or two guys who can do it well, but they're too far away. But generally speaking, they have the lot. It's too tight. It's too square. I was always like this. I was always just like,
you have a look, Tommy,
an effort at all?
But you have a look. You have a look. People know your look.
Which is kind of defeated and shaggy.
David Letterman. He's got a beard.
Yeah, he's a fine tall man though. He's six foot two. See, I'm only 5'4".
He keeps his, even though it's shaggy and stuff, he still keeps it neat.
Like. Yeah, look at, I suppose Galvin is a great beard man, isn't he? Yeah, Galvin is cool as fuck, isn't he? Galvin.
His is big and wild.
I'll wild beard him.
But yeah, he's a great torso and arms. He's
got tight jeans and a fine arse in him.
Yeah.
Everyone is only looking at your face and you have a beard.
I would look to get a little bit funkier, Tommy. Maybe during the day if you want to funk up what you're wearing.
Yeah.
You do have t-shirts. I see some of your t-shirts. You do have nice t-shirts from time to time. I'm speaking in t-shirts here. T-shirts. You have nice t-shirts. Get them out more often.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks for that advice.
I met a man recently in a very unique situation. And I don't think I've ever met a man like him in my life before. And he has left.
He's a great man for the build up to the stories, isn't he?
I mean, now I'm imagining this man
left an imprint on me. And since we met, we've talked to each other twice on the phone. And he was so nervous by saying, do you want my number? Will you ring me? If you ring me, are you sure? I'm not putting you out now or anything. And I took his number because what we spoke about was absolutely mind-bendingly fucking brilliant. And I don't think I've ever met a man like this before. And he's left such an impression on me that I think we're going to do something together. And I met him as a complete randomer.
And are you going to share it with us?
Where'd you meet him?
I met him down in Lanzarote. At the afters of a wedding, and there was 25 people at the wedding, and I saw this lad dancing to fucking Simple Minds on YouTube. There's a bit of an 80s vibe going on, and then it was early 90s because the bride and the groom were in their late 30s. And I saw this lad dancing, and he was out and he was giving it socks, and there was nobody else on the floor. It was in a little restaurant in Lanzarote, and he had a tight fucking shaved head. Well built. He looked like he was in his late 40s and he was sweating, dancing on his own on the floor. And he just put the thumbs up to me. About an hour later, I went over and I shook his hand and he had the nicest, strongest Kildare accent. How are you, Hector? From the Curragh. I'm from the Curragh. Do you know the Curragh? I said, I do. I said, I was born in Brer, just from the Curragh. I said, what do you do? He said, I'm in the army since I was 21 years of age. That's my life. And I love my country. And he started saying these statements to me first. He said, I love serving my country and I love the army and it is my life. And I fucking love it and I'm passionate about it and I have a year or two to go and I fucking love it. And there was almost tears coming out in his eyes. And then we started talking. And then he said to me, am I boring you? And you know these people you meet and, I can't believe I'm talking to you now. Am I boring you? And I said, you're not boring me. The passion was fucking oozing out of his face. And then he goes, can I tell you something that's in my head? And I said, yeah. He said, I've been dreaming of this. Since I was a little boy, all I want to do is build bicycles. And I said, what? He said, I'm fucking bananas for bikes. I want to design bikes. I want to build bikes. This lad's into his 40s, goes.
That'd be a good name for the shop.
What is it? Bikes.
Bill Bikes.
Bill Bikes. I says, what sort of bicycles? He says, anything bikes. I love fixing bikes. So what I do is all my mates come to my house and I fix their bikes. Anyone, old high Nellies, anything. He said, what I do now, even when I finish work in the Curragh Barracks, I'll go down to the local bike shop there near the Grand Canal down there, just outside Kildare, and I'm working with a lad there and I can fix bikes in the blink of an eye. He says, I know every part of every bike and I know how to fix it. And I know what's wrong with bikes and I know what bikes we need for the future. And I know what bikes are. And I said, we need more bikes in the world. And I'm just fucking sitting at this conversation at the afters of a wedding. And he's going, can I tell you now what I'm planning? He says, I'm going to design my own bike. I want to design a new Irish bike. He said, what was your first bike? And for the next hour and a half, I went on the most enthralling, brilliant adventure of talking about what bikes meant to me when you get on a bike as a teenager or your dad bought you a racing bike.
Freedom.
Fucking Tommy, this man was, the passion was oozing out of him and he's worked his way up. He's a sergeant something in the army and he's 2 years to go before he retires. And he goes, what I've decided to do, he says, have you ever heard of this man's name? And I can't think of a name. It was a strange surname. He goes, he's a multi-millionaire entrepreneur and he lives in Limerick. But he's after redeveloping the High Nelly. I said, what? He says, yeah, he's after redeveloping the High Nelly and he's selling it all over the world as the new modern 2023 version of the High Nelly, the greatest bike to ever be on the planet. And then he showed me pictures of this. And I don't know if he's on Dragon's Den or whatever, but he has this idea. So he's gone down to this lad in Limerick He goes down once a month for mentoring of this multi-millionaire guy who develops bikes, Irish guy, which we fucking don't have a clue what's going on. And he said, I am so passionate, Hector. All I want to do is make bikes, fix bikes, get people on bikes. And then I just sat back and I couldn't get a word in edgeways. And I just let this passionate man fill me. And he's there. I cannot believe I'm talking to you. And then I just said, I don't think I've ever spoken to anyone as passionate or as interesting in my life. I says, you're an amazing man. And he was so humble and so kind. And I met his wife at the wedding as well. Cut a long story short.
Too late for that.
Well, I was going to say, and me and you here the last 2 years talking to him. And he's never met anyone more interesting in his whole life. Well, thanks a fucking million.
That's it, yeah.
A man that fucking wants to build a bike. Well, I'll tell you what. He's fucking 500 years too late. There's nothing but bikes. There's every shape, size and colour of a bike. You couldn't think of another bike unless he turns it into a person and makes it a transformer bike. Please. Well, that's the biggest insult I ever got in all my life. Well, I never met a man so humble and interesting in all my life. And I see you're like two gobshites looking at you for the last nearly 3 years. Well, fuck me. I've seen it all. I thought you were going to say he's after coming up with the cure for cancer.
He makes bicycles.
He makes blinking bicycles. Sure, I could make a bicycle myself.
He fixes punctures every Saturday.
You could use a hanger at home and turn it into a bicycle. Will you go away? What's wrong with that fella? No wonder he's... No one
bald and sweating by himself, dancing by himself.
Isn't it brilliant?
And I'm Larissa. Dancing upside down on it. And he sounds like he's some cracky divorced me hours
see,
ago, in fairness.
Do you not see the brilliance of this man?
I'll tell you, when he asked you, was he boring you? You should have said, yes, you are boring me. Intensely, love. So I'll be off. See ya. But come back to me when you have the bike built. Go away. Well, the Lord save us and bless us. I didn't know what he was going to say. An army man who makes bikes. Well, now, fuck me.
Did not see the brilliance.
And I'm out in the Lebanon and fucking got the Congo the last 20 years, which he should have made long ago. What else is he for that? Oh, anyway, he sounds like he's great crack.
So, I am what we've decided to do.
Oh.
I spoke to him about the rally chopper. And I spoke to him about having my first racing bike. And we spoke about different... And he said, the bikes in this country, half of them are shite. He says, again, we're importing them from a large Asian country. Mums and dads are going down to these mass-produced shops and they're walking in. There's 50 looking bikes there and they're all £250 to £300.
At least.
And he said, they're not worth a fucking shite in the Irish weather. He said most of the coastal bikes in this country, they're not done properly because of the seawater. And I says, this is amazing. He says, I know what I want to build. He says, he says, will you help me? I says, what do you mean? Would you have you any ideas about bikes? I said, I love bikes. I said, I told him I lived on the Aran Islands. So what we've decided to do is we're going to design a bicycle, a new version of a bike, and we're going to call it. It's going to be for the islands of Ireland and it's going to be built so that it will withstand salt water. It will have all that you need. It'll be a great island bike. And then we're going to ship it all over the world called the island bike. And I'm going to call it Ruhr. R-O-H. Not O-T-H-A-R. I'm going to call it Ruhr. And I'm going down to meet him in Limerick and I'm going to meet this guy who's an entrepreneur. And he's going to design a brand new bike. And we're going to ship it to the islands around Ireland first. So
you want a cruiser bike? That I was cycling bikes out in an island in America and they're proper bikes.
Proper. But think of the bigger picture. Imagine if you get off the boat in the Aran Islands, Kilronan.
Yeah, but that's a very... I mean,
and you go down to the bike shop and they're all Irish-made bikes. They're all there. They're
so
all,
are these
well, that's
be
big
rent,
business now.
Are these renter bikes?
Bicycle hire on the islands is massive.
But could you imagine
business.
If there was a bike there that you knew was made in the country, that you knew could withstand the salt water, that had little mirrors on the side so you can see these trucks or the jeep come behind you on a bad road in Kilronan, started off on one island as a guinea pig like the Aran Islands, talk to one of the owners there and say, right, we're going to do a deal, we're going to get 50 of these new bikes called Ruhr, built in Ireland by a brilliant fucking man from Kildare, and we're going to start.
And what's the design thing? What's different about them?
He wants to design. He's
put
just,
it back on the seat.
He wants to design a new mountain bike, but he wants to put a new spin on bicycles.
I think he's ringing you there.
That's your phone flashing like a fucking.
I think he's ringing you with a new idea.
My brother told me you can put a flashing light on it, but look at that. Look at the fucking flash.
You get
off
epilepsy
that.
Off that.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So what do you think of this? Isn't that incredible that I met a man who'd love his passion is bicycles? I just think that is so refreshing in the fucking monotonous concrete jungle of the world that we live in now with this fucking we're smothered with shit. And I met a man who is an army man, but he's so passionate about bikes.
Now, couple of questions.
Yes.
First of all,
Who are you Lyle to?
I'm Lyle to bikes.
Why do you think in a bike hire shop in the Aran Islands that has 150 bikes already, what's he going to do?
Because no offence to those bikes, they're all muck and they're all imported from an Asian country that are muck.
How are you going to make money?
I'm not sure.
What are you starting off on seed funding with? What's your basic?
We're going to get seed funding. We haven't gone down that road. We have just this idea of designing a new bike for Ireland. There's like the High Nelly has been revolutionised.
Yeah, but revolution.
Are those new Hynelli's very expensive now?
Yeah,
well,
they're getting very friendly. Yeah, I'm not sure price point or how we're going to do
what's
this. But I know when I meet somebody who has passion.
Yeah, but that's passion.
When I meet somebody who takes me and blows me away.
Let me tell you,
I'm
something.
A people person, and I could read this person, and he blew me away.
Yeah, and you've a long history of success in business ventures.
Yeah, Frankenstein here.
Tommy, there's no need for that.
I mean, your life is just one success story to another in terms of investing in businesses. You're the Alan Sugar of.
Who's your man that owns Virgin Airlines?
Richard Branson.
You're the
Pat McDonough of. Right. Bicycles.
I think this is an ambitious idea. I have to say, I see a bleak enough future for it.
Fucking Mystic Meg over there.
Bikes, people are getting bikes that you can fold up and take on the Dart or on the Lewis with you. You've got electric bikes.
Yes.
Right? Which are obviously the more economical way to go.
Yeah.
So where does your brand fit in the market?
Apart from
being sentimental and
no, I think he's hit a nail on the head. The bike rental, even in Ireland, on islands, is humongous.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
There are thousands of bikes on the island of Ireland and on the islands every day being rented. And what we want to do is hit that market first.
Or those Coca-Cola bicycles that are in every city. Are they still Coca-Cola bicycles?
What company got it out of that? Why can't we have an Irish company, an Irish man who's passionate about bikes, making an Irish bike called Rutter? And
sponsored by Smithix or something.
Like, why don't you go over to Amsterdam first and sell them there? Because they actually use
Copenhagen.
Bicycles.
There's millions of people on bikes every day. Don't use them, it doesn't mean to say bikes aren't on the rise.
We should have them. But first of all, I would go to the government and I would lobby for proper cycle lanes. Because
the
best of luck with this.
No, hang on. This is very interesting now that you both come down this road. So there's a great, very wise man called Gudo Wafu Nishijima.
Yes.
And the four noble truths of Buddhism are suffering, exists. Suffering exists for a reason. There is a way out of suffering. This is the way. That's the four noble. They're the four kind of pillars that Buddhism is right. built on. Okay. And this fella, Gudo Wafu Nishijima, said to me, he said, I was never satisfied with that translation of the Four Noble Truths. I could never really get my head around the suffering thing. Yeah. So I've come up with another way. There is, in every phase of life, in everything you do in life, there are four kind of phases that you go through.
Mm.
The idealistic phase.
Mm.
The idealistic phase. The objective phase.
Mm.
The realistic phase. And then the reality phase.
Oh, yeah.
With everything. So say with something like bicycles, you are now stuck in the idealistic phase of, oh my God, I can see them now cycling across the islands of the country in these beautifully designed Irish roars. I can see it. I can see their hair blowing in the wind. I can see their lungs being filled with the most dynamic and gorgeous of Irish fresh air. I can see the money coming in. Cash, no receipts. I can see it.
I can see him doing the
cash, I can see this fantastic thing. So now what you have to do is the idealistic phase is strong in you. It's strong in you, Hector. The idealism is strong
full
in
of
you.
It. Yeah.
Now you've got to move into the objective phase. How? How are you going to make it happen? Where are you going to get the bicycles built? How are you going to how are you going to fund it? Where are you going to get a factory to build the bicycles? Mm. How many people are going to work on building the bicycles?
Yeah.
What are the bicycles going to look like? Where are you going to source all the materials? How many, much of a workforce? How are you going to advertise? All that. And then after that, then you go into the realistic phase of, okay,
3 years.
Let's go for it. Let's build. And each phase is informed by the previous phase, but is not as you thought it was going to be.
Yes.
So you open the factory. You hired the people. The bicycles are being built. The staff has been hired. People are working. You're out doing the contracts. And then the final phase is the reality of owning a bicycle company and all the type of stuff. So Gudo Wafu Nishijima would say that in all our endeavours of life, we go through these four phases, even marriage.
Seeing cooking the dinner.
Even marriage, even cooking the dinner.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if we had? Can you imagine if I would love.
And the reality of it.
And then.
Yes, Thomas.
So say
yeah, getting married, you're so full of enthusiasm that it's going to be fun. And,
the
reality is a completely different situation.
Getting married, wouldn't it be great to have
a husband, a wife. Yeah.
I'd love a wife. What kind of a wife would you like?
Yes.
Oh, I just would like a
beautiful wife.
Just a beautiful, lumpy, happy, ridey, soft, centred, smiley,
giddy
wife. I'd love a giddy wife. A giddy, giggly.
Yeah. A giggy, giggly wife.
And you'd love her with big breasts and big lips.
Lovely
loads
bums.
Of
bums. Bum or bum. A bum of a bountiful bum.
And then you go to the... And then you have to move out of that phase and go, well, how would I get one? Where would I find one?
Where will we find it?
Where do we find a wife? And what do they look like? And how would I get it going? And are they expensive? The good ones are expensive.
Expensive to run, yeah.
And where and would I? How would I persuade a woman to become a wife? Because wives aren't born.
No,
women are born.
And they're not ten a penny.
No, women are born, and a woman has to decide.
A wife is made and created.
And moulded into
the moulded in, yeah. And then you go through. Then you go, okay, well, I'm going to go for it. And you find a woman, and you woo the woman. What are you doing?
And then you wide her.
I'm wooing you, and then I'm going to wide you. So then you go through that, and then you wake up to the reality of this other human being in the house beside you,
all the time,
and that's they're the so Gudo would say every endeavor in life has to go through these four phases, and it's about having a balance. So you're stuck right now. You're in the idealistic phase.
Yeah. So
will you ever get out of the idealistic phase?
All I'll say is this: there's only one place in Ireland now that will do this. He's going down to Limerick to meet this guy who has this bike university degree academy, and he's going to get this degree.
Have you just invented that?
No. Trust me, I get more information on this. He will be certified as a bike technician. So in the world we live in now, there's mechanics.
But are you in business together now?
I'm about to sort of ideologically, artistically, he wants my input.
Money.
Your money is right.
No. I really, really believe. I'm going down to Limerick to meet this multimillionaire guy who's redeveloped the High Nellies. I'm meeting him.
And what? Are you trying to convince him?
And maybe the three of us will start a company together. And maybe I will revolutionise the bike industry in this country. And finally make something that the Irish people will be proud to sit on. It will feel good.
It'll be made here.
It'll be made in Ireland, and it'll create a small indigenous industry. And what we'll do is we'll take one island,
very romantic,
like Kilronan, and we'll have a guinea pig of Kilronan. Get the people of Inishmore on board.
And
that goes full circle. The motto of the story here is that I was met somebody who was completely and utterly passionate about something, and it enveloped over me like a fucking wave of positivity, and I was completely taken by this man.
How's your energy these days?
An army man.
How's your energy?
Do you think it's working?
Yeah. No, yours.
I'm not too bad.
You're good. It seems to be good.
Yeah, good. Good. I feel I'm at a junction in my life where I'm fucking taking all the stuff in like a sponge, and I don't know why it's happening. Maybe it's because of this podcast, or maybe because people know me, or maybe it's because of what, the way we speak. Or
you've a drive for life, Hector. You've an excitement for life.
You're the Iggy Pop of podcasting. Lust for life. But your energy is good.
And you, on the other hand.
People give me energy, Tommy. And when I sat at that table and listened to this army man who's given 20-something years to the army, and he goes,
Was there many other people listening to the conversation?
No, we were above at the corner of a table in a bar in a restaurant in Lanzarote. And he said to me, I love my country and I love the army and I'm fucking proud to represent that country and I'll serve my country. But
is this the same lad now that you're doing the accent from?
You know what I mean? And he goes, do you know what I'm reading?
Is he from Waterford?
Do you know what I'm really passionate about? And I didn't know what he was going to say. And he went, "Your missus."
Oh, go away.
Fucking bicycles.
And did you not burst out laughing when he said bicycles?
No, because you know then, he had me. He fucking had me. Because my mind is always searching for those people that have a little bit of something different than the norm. But leave this with me. I'm telling you,
gladly.
There's something in
it. We don't want to.
Could you imagine the unveiling in Inisir, and we'd all be out in Tommy's cottage for the weekend, and it would be magnificent. We'd have a bike up on top of the roof.
A lot of the islands are very hilly, so I'm trying to think.
Is there going to be gears?
Would you have three gears on a Tommy, or would you have any gear on a bike? Do you need gears on a bike?
Well, you do on the islands, because the island is basically a hill in the sea.
Will there be a basket on it? Will there be a bell on it?
Yes, there will be a bell. Now, exactly. Now you're talking.
Will there be the thing on the back that you should bring people
on? A carrier. There will be a carrier. There will be a basket. There will be a bell. There will be a little. There will be loads of stuff.
Well, you need gears on it, because how the hell is people supposed to cycle around with no gears and all that?
Middle gear. And instead of going first, second, and third, what we call them is the low hill, the middle hill, and the high hill.
And would there be any engagement at all with technology on the bicycle?
I think so.
Like, will it be, could you make it, you could have a series of handprints on the handlebars so it couldn't be stolen. So the bike will only
work
if your hand is on it and the hand of a few family members.
And would you have a sat-nav on it?
I don't think you need any of this crack, lads, do you really? What I'm trying to do is you'd get people back to feeling
what
it's like to be on a bike, to have the air coming at you. What's it feeling to get out and do some bike, not to have much technology on it, because I feel we're suffocated with technology. Let's go back to the old way. And I will tell you, this man, Charlie is his name, and I am meeting him. He sent me a message there yesterday, and he's there. Well, do you want to meet in Limerick? And I feel right, and I feel... yes, I'll go and meet this person. Because if we don't get up off our holes and meet people, new people like this, these are the new people. He is a really interesting person, and I like interesting people. Thank you, and good night, and God bless. And if I can create a bike, imagine that.
You should call it Hector.
No, call it Roar. Fucking great word. The Roar.
You could call it Hector, and you could say, been all over the world. Almost worldwide.
The sneering has started there now again.
No, it's a bike.
Could the bicycle in some way have a link to clips from your television show?
YouTube channel. It could have a YouTube.
Look at judging by your monologue.
I'll tell you
your
what
Mayo
you
monologue when I finished speaking was one of the best I've ever
I think
ever
what you should
heard.
Also do with this bike, the bike should be have two functions. The bike should be able to be at home as a stationary bike and out on the road. As
so it's a double bike life.
It should have a double life. In order for it to have any benefit in today's society, I think it needs to have two functions.
Who's to say we can't make an urban version of it? But,
no.
But the island bike is very
good. You can pop it up on a thing and cycle like a Peloton at home. Or
and I think there should be buttons on the bicycle so that when you're cycling, say in traffic, that it can go, fuck off!
Prick! Prick!
Record those
hit that
you.
Button. Prick!
That instead of a bell.
Yeah. Look where you're fucking driving, you blind cunt! You have a megaphone on the back. No, what you want is just one little button going, wanker! Wanker.
Oh, brilliant.
You fool! You're a fool.
Yeah.
Get off the road! Get off the fucking road! Watch where you're going!
Oh my God, that's now. Now we're on to something.
Yeah.
Instead
yeah.
of a bell. A bell is non and non.
I leave you with this.
Promise?
Please do.
Well, good. Yeah, well, okay. Watch this space. It's
thank
been
you.
A pleasure talking to you, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. God bless and good luck.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.